cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of February 2024. And tonight we have as our producer, Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. How you doing? Hello, America.
Oh, there you go. And way out yonder, we have that legendary parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, I think you and I are probably more infamous than legendary, but we'll accept it.
All righty, we'll go along with that. Then tonight, the title of the message tonight, well, do you remember what it was?
I am not afraid of burning in hell, he said.
Right. Well, he is Ronald Reagan Jr. And the emphasis, I was listening to him promoting atheism, getting people to join the National Atheist Association, and he was boasting about atheism is now America's largest and fastest growing religion. Well, I doubt it's the largest at this time, but oh, yeah.
It'd be the fastest growing.
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly what God's Word, the Bible, said it would be right now in the days we're living
exactly.
in. Very specifically. So, I mean, we're exactly right on course. We know right where we're at here. And so, here,
isn't
I want you to...
How he just proved, in a way, the Scripture just covered him. It was just like... I'm an atheist, but the Bible is explaining how this would happen at this time. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
No, but not only that, but look, Joe, if I call you an old dumbhead, well, then that's my opinion. You may be and you may not be an old dumbhead. But when God calls you a fool, guess what? It's settled, okay?
It's pretty well settled, yeah.
Right, because God always has the last word, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And
I've
argued
with him before, and I guarantee you he gets the last word.
So he describes Ron Reagan Jr. in Psalms 14, verse 1. Would you read that verse?
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Alrighty, I'm going to read to you from an article from Bob Unruh when it says, we are on the precipice of Christian invisibility. You may have, we touched on this last week. Studies have shown that for years, even decades, the number of those in America who believe and follow the Bible's guide to moral life has been dropping. Now it's reached a crisis, according to a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul by George Barna, Well, one of the problems with George Bonner is he's always polling evangelicals, okay, or he'll oppose the what they call the liberal church, which is the apostate church. But the one group of people, the most conservative Bible-believing Christians, those are fundamentalists.
And he doesn't know much about us.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And the new churches that are growing, the new churches that are starting up, are, you know, just in the couple last few years, over 200 UBF, unregistered Baptist churches, have started up. Okay, I mean, and this has been going on year after year. These are small, actual New Testament churches that are not 501c3 corporations. They're actual churches, not corporations. They are not 501c3. Christ and Christ alone is their head, not the government, not the state. But Barnard doesn't seem to know that. Okay, but anyhow.
Well, I'll be honest. I've talked to a lot of people out here, a lot of, Southern Baptists. There's a lot of Southern Baptists in Missouri. They had no idea what an unregistered church was, or, you explained to a lot of these people this 501c3, and there are some small country churches that don't have any affiliation. They didn't realize they were unregistered. They just thought they were poor. But the others, oh, that's not important. You know, we belong to Southern Baptists, and it's a strong fellowship, and they really have no understanding, and a lot of them, you try and talk to them, they don't want to know.
Well, you're right, they don't. But our job is what? Hosea 4:6 is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah. Right. We can try and tell them, but it's like a horse. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. And you can try and talk to a Southern Baptist about their 501c3, but you can't make them listen.
Well, I've got to tell you, the Southern Baptist Convention, they're not Baptist, they're Protestant. See, there's a difference. See, again, they don't understand that.
Right, they don't get that either.
denominations...
part of the Reformation.
Right, denominations are not biblical. Denominations are not biblical, okay? The church government is very simple. He's given it to us. Jesus Christ... and Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. Then you've got the under-shepherd, which is the pastor of the local assembly, the local congregation, elders and deacons, and then you've got the congregation, the laity.
Yeah.
Now that's
all there is.
Right.
You can't find any more in the Bible, can you?
No. Now, whenever you take and insert anything between the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and the under-shepherd, the local pastor, then you have a denomination, okay? Whether you have an assembly, a convention, a synod, a presbytery, whatever, they're not biblical, okay? And so denominations are not a biblical teaching at all, okay? And the other thing, Joe, is the actual Baptist is not a denomination. Actual Baptist is a doctrine. Actual
right.
Baptist
is the doctrine of baptism, how you become a born-again believer.
The fundamentals of the church.
Yeah.
That's what a Baptist is. So, and they don't know that. They don't know that when you become a 501c3, you became a corporation. Corpus means non-living. Corpus means a non-living creation of the state. When you get that 501c3, you agree in a contract, which they call covenant, that you are a creation of the state, a non-living creation of the state. The state is your head. Now, the church, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, Christ and Christ alone, and the church is the living body of Christ. The corporation is the non-living creation
living
of the
body.
State. And yeah. You say, well, I know we're a 501c3, but we don't feel that way. Well, you may not feel that way, but you've entered into a contract and you've agreed with the state that the state is your head.
You put it in writing. You've made a contract. You see, what God has a covenant. His whole New Testament is what? A covenant with his people, his church.
Right.
That should cover everything. God's covenant supersedes all, right?
Absolutely. But here's what I'm seeing. I don't know where you're at, but around here, most of the new churches, whether Baptists that are opening, they're all unregistered. Just about all the new Baptist churches around here are unregistered ones. Now, it wasn't that way. If I go back, actually, we go back 20 years ago, we were the only one that I knew of. But now there's about 30 in the area that are unregistered New Testament Baptist churches. In fact, we have a conference, and we have a number of those pastors coming over in April of this year to a conference where we're going to be talking about planting more churches. So
fantastic. Yep, that is great news.
So, all righty. So anyhow, he goes on to say, and then we're talking about George Barnum. He's the director of the Cultural Research Center and a professor at Arizona Christian University. He's also the author of dozens of books. He has addressed the spiritual decline in American children. Children are intellectual and spiritual sponges in their preteens. They are desperately trying to make sense of the world and their identity and their purpose and how to live meaningful, satisfying lives, he said in an announcement about his new book. Parents in particular have a duty to focus on and invest in the development of their children's worldview, which is simply their decision-making filter for life. If parents do not fill that vacuum, well, other sources such as the media, the schools, and even the child's peers will influence the worldview construction. So the child's worldview will inevitably develop. The critical questions are who will shape it and what worldviews will be most forcefully and consistently proposed. He cites from the CRC's research, including that among American preteens, only 60% have even read even a part of the Bible. And only half said it has information about how to lead a good life. A mere 1 out of 26, essentially, 1 out of 4, 26% consistently consult the Bible when trying to determine right from wrong, he explained. Even fewer, 21%, believe turning to the Bible is the best way to distinguish right from wrong. He noted only a minority of 46% of adults endorse that, and worse, only half as many young people, 25%, agree that the Bible is the true words of God and provides value as a guide for life. CRC reported while a robust 97% of 8 to 12-year-olds believe that there is an identifiable difference between right and wrong, a sultry 1 out of 5, 21%, believe that absolute moral truth exists. This is slightly less than the norm among adults, 25%, indicative of the direction in which the nation is moving. And out of every 3 preteens, 36% believes that the means to eternal salvation by confessing their sins and asking Jesus Christ to save them from the consequences of sin. This is the same proportion found in adults, 35%. The fact that 8 to 12-year-olds display a higher likelihood of acknowledging Jesus Christ as the only means to eternal life than do teenagers, 21%, raises the probability that the current percentage will decline as today's adolescents age, unless there is a concerted effort to prevent such a drop. Barna explained, if you follow the data, you learn that we have had a decreasing percentage of Americans embracing biblical worldviews since we started tracking this in the early 1990s. Now, we've endured more than 30 years of consistent decline with a very limited response by the church. The incidence of biblical worldview among adults has dropped to just 4%, and among parents and young children, it's just 2%. Now, you can't get much lower than that. He continued, because of the strong correlation between biblical worldview and genuine Christian discipline, we are on the precipice of Christian invisibility in the nation unless we get serious about the crisis and invest heavily in fixing the problem. The worldview.
I've got to interrupt. You and I, you remember back when one Madeline Murray O'Hare started raising a stink and got, well, they didn't so politely, they asked God to leave the public pool system, right? We don't need him anymore. And if you go back and you look, almost everything in the country went downhill from that point. The number of unwed mothers, rapes, crimes, whatever it is, broken families, you name it, it really started going downhill. And you look at a graph, it's a tremendous, huge increase in all these sins and problems. And the answer is simple, and Barna doesn't discuss it, but you send your child to the, 30 hours a week plus to be educated by the devil in the vain philosophies and deceits of men, and then they get, 30, 40 minutes of Sunday school once a week at church, at a evangelical-type church. And we wonder why this is happening. You and I have been screaming about this for so long, it's hard to remember.
The worldview development of children is the existential challenge facing American church today. The book, Barna's 60th, is based on 2 years of research with preteens, teenagers, parents, pastors, and other adults. The CRC warned the foundational beliefs held by today's 8 to 12-year-olds have them on track to abandon biblical Christianity in record numbers. Now, the one thing that is, the one good thing out there that's happening is, one, homeschooling is growing. And because homeschooling is growing at such a rapid rate, the dark state, the deep state, the Biden regime, the communists, the Democrats, are trying to come down on homeschoolers now. They want to start trying to put them under, so heavily regulate them that they cannot continue to homeschool, and then try to reclassify.
Looking at Europe, and really Europe saw the problem, and they decided, like Germany, to ban homeschooling and get rid of the problem by government bans, and we've been telling that story for the past 10, 12 years.
But homeschooler continues to grow, and then every day in this country, 3 new Christian schools open. Now, every day some close, too. But anyhow, and again, I told you before, recently here in Ohio, I know I mentioned this, but it bears mentioning over and over, and here in Ohio, your liberal legislators, they want to pass legislation to pay children $500 a year to go to school because the truancy rate is so high. And they're blaming the truancy rate on homeschooling. And you had some of these dingbat liberal politicians come out and say, well, how are they ever going to learn which bathrooms to use or which gender they are unless they go to school? Well, you're not supposed to learn that. You're supposed to know that before you ever get to school, okay? And these idiots don't realize, Joe, that's exactly why homeschool is growing. The parents don't want their children to be indoctrinated and woke. Now they're learning
exposed to sin.
One good thing that COVID did, besides killing all those kids and killing all those people, the COVID shots, I should say, but one thing that COVID did do was make the parents aware of what their children were being taught in the public school system. And they were amazed. Now, we've been trying to warn people about this for years, but they've got a very strong, stark dose of reality when they started seeing what their children were being taught. And so let's start tonight over in Luke chapter 12. Read verses 1 through 3.
In the meantime, when there were gathered together and it innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops.
All right, Joe, that's being done right here and now. That is being done right here and now from coast to coast. Okay? We're proclaiming that. And here is what the Lord is speaking about. Now, who is he speaking to?
Well, it said first he began to speak, first of all, to his disciples, and then to the other people gathered, but first to the disciples, the church.
Okay. Well, here, actually, this follows where he was leaving. He just was saying, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you lawyers. Now, the Pharisees and the lawyers were gathered there, and they were questioning him. They were trying to question him.
And he trip him up with legalism, legalese.
Right. Yeah. And so now he's speaking, they're gathered, so now he's speaking to the other people in the presence of the Pharisees and the lawyers. Now, who were the Pharisees and the lawyers?
The Pharisees were like the political leader, weren't they?
They were like judges, the judicial.
Those judges, yeah.
Judicial, not, yeah, not legislative, but legit. Okay.
You're right, judicial. I just missed
the Herodians, actually, well,
were the legislative. Yeah.
And so here now, so he's talking about the hypocrisy of the judicial and with the judges and lawyers. Now, how would that apply today? Do we have hypocrisy in the way that they're treating President Trump compared to the way they treat Biden?
Oh, yeah, the judges, the lawyers, the entire legal system is totally corrupt. And it's corrupt. It's not just full of hypocrisy. It's totally corrupt. It's been weaponized.
All right, so when you take and you also apply that application to the apostates, because they were also the religious leaders, and so if you apply that to Judaism today, or to, let's say, the World National Council of Churches today, would you refer to hypocrisy? Do they embrace everything that God calls sin?
Pretty much. And anything that they haven't, they will endorse shortly.
Okay. Can you think of anything that the United Church of Christ or most of the United Methodist or the Episcopal Church, anything that the God's Word, the Bible, okay, what about sodomy? Do they embrace sodomy?
Yep, they embrace sodomy.
Do they embrace abortion? Do they embrace euthanasia? Do they embrace drag queens? Do they embrace this transgender stuff, okay? Do they embrace feminism? So if there's everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, they embrace it, don't they?
Exactly, unless there's something they come up with tomorrow, and then they'll embrace it soon after.
So if you could invent a new sin tomorrow, they would embrace it. And many of them also embrace bestiality,
too. Yeah, they're pushing that, too. You know.
Oh, yeah, well, the ACLU... That's top of their agenda. The ACLU now today is to legalize pedophilia. And woe unto your lawyers, woe unto your lawyers, Jesus said. And so there you go. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Down to 6 months of age, just over a year on, the Bombshell Report, which has just been published by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OEC, and subsequently suppressed by the mainstream media, revealed that nearly 500,000 children and young adults have now died since the injections were approved for use on most children. And here is the figure that the mainstream media are working overtime to hide from you. Over 118,000 of those deaths are suspected to be linked to the COVID vaccine side effects. Despite the staggering death toll revealed in the report, it's been met with deafening silence from the mainstream media. We shouldn't be surprised. The report exposes the globalist elite and their propagandists in the mainstream media as the frauds and liars that they are. All through 2021, Democrat President Joe Biden's administration and then Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci continued to insist that the COVID jabs were safe and effective for all ages. According to Fauci, vaccines were necessary for protecting kids from the virus, despite children only showing mild symptoms, if any at all. We have compiled a rogues gallery of crooks who lie to our faces about the vaccines. All of these people have the blood of hundreds of thousands of American children on their hands.
Not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Getting vaccinated and getting a booster shot when eligible can save your life and protect you and your family and friends from getting seriously ill and spreading infection.
What do you think the probability is? 80%?
Personally, I think it's 100%. I think that there's a reduction in transmission.
Right. COVID, if you have it. These vaccinations.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it, A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
But when we look at the emergency use authorization, which is right on the screen, if you look what it says under transmission, this is what was known the moment they were making those statements. Can I have the next slide, please? What was known was that the data are not there, limited to assess the effects of the vaccine against transmission of SARS-CoV-2. They had no idea. They had no idea if it would stop the infection, yet they were making those statements on the news.
Plus, the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market. If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No.
Shameful. Turns out they were all telling barefaced lies to the public. But it gets even worse. Despite the mountain of evidence proving the globalists were lying to us about the COVID pandemic and their experimental jabs, some people continue to believe the lies.
You know, Joe, every one of those people knew that they were lying. They did this. Just like those 51 former intel agents that lied. They said that they knew that the Russia hoax. Remember. Even though they lied, they knew that they were lying. They were asked if they would lie, and they did. And this is what's happening. You know, in Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And again, these people knew by lying, they knew that people were dying. Joe, remember this. And we want to say this, too, and keep reminding people. 3 weeks before the very first person took the first shot, remember, Joe, 3 weeks before the first one, we were telling people, don't take the shot. It's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. Every test animal that tested on died. Don't take the shot. Well, I think one of these days when they're going to find out how many people actually died of that, it's going to be in the tens of millions, Joe.
I'm afraid it will be. We've had article after article of other people trying to counter and bring up that fact, and they keep trying to block them, charge them. In fact, there's a news story out where they're going to be going after people now who go against the science that's coming out of the United Nations, and Biden's behind it and with it. So we're going to see a lot of trouble coming there. But you were saying, I was just thinking that clear back in Isaiah, what is it, chapter 28, verse 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us.
For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Kind of reminds me of what they're doing. You know, lies don't matter. We hide ourselves behind lies. We're going to be just fine.
Absolutely.
So they say, right?
Absolutely. All righty. A DOJ advised medical examiners to dispose of the bodies of all the babies that were murdered, aborted babies, they call them. Okay. Here, an article by Mary Margaret Olin out of the Daily Signal. And she goes on to say, first on the Daily Signal, the Department of Justice reportedly advised the Washington, D.C. medical examiner to discard the bodies of the babies that were killed, according to an attorney with the Thomas More Society. In other words, what they were trying to do, these babies were past term. They were, you know, past the legal age of killing. And so, again, the dirty department, okay, the DOJ is dirty. I don't know, dirty, old, it's the, boy.
Just totally corrupt.
Yeah, totally just corrupt.
Best, we got the best law enforcement agency money can, corrupt money can buy.
Right, it is totally corrupt, totally, okay. So those babies' remains are from a bloody whorehouse of death called an abortion mill. And in Foggy Bottom, a neighborhood of the D.C., this district of crime. Pro-life activists believe...
corruption anymore. Right. It's district of corruption, too. Right. Crime and
right.
corruption.
The bodies, the babies' bodies are evidence that the D.C. abortionists, those were child molesters, were performing illegal abortions for the past 2 years. D.C. authorities have stonewalled any questions about the baby's deaths. Just today, I got a call from the medical examiner's office indicating that the DOJ, the completely corrupt DOJ, has advised them that there is no reason to keep those babies anymore. Attorney Martin Cannon, who is representing pro-life activists charged by the DOJ, told the Daily Signal on a phone call on Monday evening, and the medical examiner's office accordingly tells me that if we don't have an order to the contrary, by the end of the week, the court will dispose of all of the baby's bodies. And you ought to do this. Saying a precatory prayer against the DOJ. I mean, they have, I don't know, remember, again, I know I've repeated this time and time, but it bears repeating how we called there. Remember, they have like 1,900 lawyers. And I called there, and I talked to several to find out if they could identify one Christian, just one, working there. And they actually went around and asked and came back and said, no, nobody knows of any Christians that work here at all. There you go.
And it's talk about sad. Let's just, folks, join with me on this. The more people join in prayer from the heart, the more God listens, the more powerful the prayer is to Him.
I'll be praying with you, Joe.
I know you will. We just ask the listeners to join. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, if you could look into my heart, sometimes words don't always come. This Department of Justice, we call it Department of Injustice, and it's really now a... weapon of the left. It is a weapon against the it's an anti-Christ system weapon to be used against Christians and those that believe in our Constitution that was when we formed the nation under you. And it was by your commandments and by your gospel that this country, its institutions of government and law were formed. And Lord, you can see what is happening throughout, that this is a takeover. The communists are trying to take over our constitutional republic, our nation under you. And as we have to watch each and every day, we see the evil being wrought, the power being brought against Christians and constitutionalists, against those who love freedom. And Lord, as it looks like, sometimes it's beyond, people ask me, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, Lord, you've told us the answer is to bring everything to you in prayer, to come to you. And we ask, Lord, for your divine intervention, that you would change hearts and minds in this organization, this group we call the Deep State. And, Lord, that they would repent or perish, or, Lord, that they would be removed and made powerless, whatever it be thy will. But we know they're perpetrating evil, and we wish none to perish. You've asked us to pray that you want none to perish and go to hell. And these people are on their way, and, Lord, that you would cause them to turn from their wicked ways, turn to you, repent, or just be struck dumb, like in Scripture, unable to speak and not able to do any more evil. But, Lord, we just put it in your hands, and from our hearts, we need help. We ask you to intervene and help return this nation back to that nation under God where it belongs. We're fighting the fight, Lord. We're doing what we can, and we need you to come and lead in the battle and carry the day, carry the war for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. All righty. You know, we just had talked about the COVID here. Article here out of the Gateway Pundit. Service members were coerced and injured, and as a result, they've lost nearly all trust in leadership over the COVID-19 shot. Well, you're not kidding, they have. Especially, they're having a horrible time trying to get white men into the military now. They don't trust them. And so, through part of an anonymous questionnaire distributed by the author, over 200 men and women currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces shared their experiences concerning the now rescinded COVID-19 military vaccine mandate. Major Trey Dawson, who served in the U.S. military for over 15 years and is currently assigned to an Army Aviation Brigade, was one of the 229 participants. When the COVID-19 shot rolled out, he was pressured to take the jab. According to the survey, almost 73% of the participants said they were coerced into receiving the shot. You need to get vaccinated. This is non-negotiable for leaders because we set the example, and you're a bad leader if you don't get vaccinated. These statements embodied the sentiment of Major Dawson's brigade commander and brigade sergeant major. Okay. According to the survey, only two of the 30 individuals who admitted taking the shot wanted to be vaccinated. Major Dawson was one of the 30 who felt obligated to get the injection, even though he has been opposed to vaccines for years. Even the kids are not vaccinated. And he shared, I experienced the anti-vax movement to get crushed. I expected, and I felt like my livelihood was at stake, so that led me to get the vaccine. Now, Major Dawson explained, while I thought that I would be at the end of my troubles over the shot as an executive officer, it became my job to hunt people down to tell them to get vaccinated. He said, I had to find opportunities to voice my concern to them privately. Approximately 95% of the survey participants faced reprisal for not receiving the COVID 19 injections, including verbal threats of punitive legal action, loss of promotion, and exclusion from career-enhancing schools. I'll just stop right there. But now,
and then most of them were thrown out of the military, and then the military wanted them back. And guess what? Most of the ones that were out didn't want to come back.
No, they offered them $50,000 a year to come back. One time $50,000 bonus to come back.
Bonus, yeah.
And they refused, and I don't blame them, you know.
Well, they were lied to, deceived. Now the two headlines that go with it: Navy lowers the bar to enlist again amid continued recruiting woes. They missed their goal by a large way, and they're having trouble. They've lowered the standards of testing and everything else. Now the other goes, the Air Force Use your privilege. U.S. Air Force promotes new super woke training. This is to create a brave space for everyone. And they're giving workshops on mitigating bias awareness through allyship and identify barriers to innovation, creating a more diverse force. The more diverse it is, the stronger it is. And they're pushing that Air Force diversity, equity, and inclusion. The leaders have highlighted a renewed effort to engineer greater racial, ethnic, and gender diversity in the Air Force. And the same thing is going on in the Navy. And then they wonder why the military has mostly been made up, I think, since our country began, by the country kids, the Midwest Bible Belt. It's been the Christians, the kids from the farms, the country that have been the mainstay in the military. And a lot of the military members had been family tradition, you know, years of people being in the Marine Corps, years of service in the Army. And these people are not joining like they used to. In fact, they're retiring, getting out as soon as their retirement, their enlistment's up. And this problem is going to get worse, not better, because the mainstay of the military wants no part of DEI and white privilege, and you're a racist, and all this other garbage that they're teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, they're, like I said, now the Marines are the only one that's come close to meeting a quota, and they have not gone woke. They realize if they go woke, then nobody's going to re-up.
Marine Corps, yeah. Exactly.
No, yeah, and they realized that there'll be no re-off. So now they're talking about instituting the draft because it's getting dire. And they've done this on purpose. The whole purpose of this woke movement was to destroy our military. Okay? And so now where's Milley in Austin now? Milley jumped ship. He wanted to get out while he was good. So where, Mr. Austin? Where's your drag queen brigades? Where's your drag queens that you wanted to send over? I mean, here, just unbelievable. We kept telling people what they were doing to destroy our military. These were guys who have got no morals or no values that came in, and whatever their orders were, no matter what. And we were betrayed time and time again. And so, anyhow, here you go. Analyst shows HERS report on Biden even worse than we thought. A commentator on the social media has announced or analyzed Special Counsel Robert Ur's report on Joe Biden. Reports said that he probably committed federal crimes regarding the handling of classified material, but no charges were recommended because of the diminishing mental capabilities. Well, no, now think about this. Trump was the legitimate president. President Trump had the authority to declassify, and he did what he said. President Trump, when these documents were found classified, he notified the proper authorities and said, look what we found, here's where they're at. Biden didn't. Biden had them stored at a Chinese restaurant someplace. He had them stored in his garage by his Corvette. And he was doing this when he was a senator. He was doing it totally illegally and unlawfully. And so here you've got Trump, who did not break the law. Trump, where he had his stored at Mar-a-Lago, had Secret Service people there at Mar-a-Lago, okay? Biden didn't have anybody in his garage but Hunter with his drugs, right? So
That garage, that's all. That we don't even go there. They were just, he had top secret things stuffed in boxes, and they were open to the air, open to the public, or his son and everybody else that went through the house. I mean, this whole thing is a joke.
He goes on to say in this report, the report found that a jury would likely sympathized with an elderly man whose memory was failing, so he probably wouldn't be convicted. He would probably go off on him in the courtroom. But the analysis of the report still continues. And a commentator on social media who identifies himself as a lawyer also writes on a Substack listed that Biden willfully retained marked and unmarked classified documents at his home. This risks serious damage to American national security, yet Biden will not be charged. Okay, and then it goes on to tell you about it. You can see this at a picture, Twitter, whatever. There are tapes in 2017, Biden told a writer, he found all the classified stuff downstairs at his Delaware home. These documents were later found by the FBI. Her says this evidence shows Biden willfully retained and marked and classified documents about Afghanistan. He goes on to say there's also evidence that Biden unlawfully retained classified notebooks, past post vice presidency, disclosed classified info in the notebooks to his ghostwriters. Biden's excuse to the special counsel amounts to a criminal false statement. Biden explained that when he described material in his notebook as classified, he did not actually mean classified. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Okay.
Didn't that mean, yeah.
Okay.
You go back, it's real simple. He took documents when he was a senator. Senators are no way allowed to take, when they come out of those little special rooms, I can't remember what they call them, but it's like a key, a special room that you go in and you can't take anything out and you're shown top secret information. You have to do something very illegal if you're a senator to come away with documents. Somebody has to work with you. Then he took stuff as vice president, and vice presidents aren't allowed to take stuff like that. The only one that's allowed to have that kind of access is the president of the United States. He's allowed to see things, take it with him, because he is the one who decides whether it's classified or not. Now, it's always been that way. The president can declassify anything he wants to and talk about it if he sees it in the, public has a right or need to know. And none of that stuff applies to senators or vice presidents. So, I mean, Biden deliberately, woefully took things that he knew were wrong. He disobeyed willingly on purpose, and he did it over many, many years. This wasn't just one day he happened to take a file home or something. He had way more documents than Trump did, and most of it right now, the House Investigative Committee, three different committees, are suing to have all of those documents that were reviewed by the special prosecutor that said he was not going to charge Biden. And they want to see it because it involves China, Ukraine, and all the stuff that Hunter Biden's involved in.
Well, let's see if they did. The problem
how important it is.
We still don't have. Now, remember I told you before that I had some information that Merrick Garland was secretly meeting with some of Trump's people. And I don't know. And, of course, my source didn't know why, but just knew that they were. But we figured that the handwriting's on the wall for Garland. He knows that Trump's going to probably be the next, he's going to get back in the White House. And he knows there's going to be treason charges filed. And so, we assumed, and maybe that's not what we should have done, but that Garland was trying to cut a deal, maybe roll over on some people, to keep from going down himself. I mean, like I'm saying, this is just what we're assuming. I don't know why, but did you find it interesting that he would allow this report to come out now about Joe Biden being incompetent? And
I think it's the only thing he could think of not to charge, because it was obvious that Biden was guilty. and he could charge him back when he was a senator, a vice president, and then there's the thing, can a sitting president be charged? He had to come up with something. So one, he had to come up with some reason not to charge him. Two, I think the people around, all around realize that Biden cannot, is not in charge, and other people are getting afraid, and they're getting ready to, they have to get rid of him, whether they want to or not.
Well, good news. Kamala said she's all ready to get to the White House. She can't wait, okay?
And yep, so, she made that statement. She came out and said that she was, says she's ready to serve. Yep, that's the way she put it.
Yep.
I am ready to serve. There's no question about it. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that
so
is,
I...
What's with Kamala or a crooked old man that can't remember what he, you know, did yesterday?
When is their convention? When is this? This summer, right?
I don't remember. The convention would be over the summer, I'm pretty sure.
Because the word is that sometime between the 1st of April and August that they're going to have to dump Joe Obama. They're going to have to get rid of him now. And so at the convention, they can nominate somebody else, and they can dump Kamala, too, because even the left is afraid of getting her in there. I mean,
yeah. I think they don't control her well. She doesn't take directions. She's not a team player. And, you know, Miss Giggles, they just can't swallow that one. But they've got a problem there because she's a, quote, minority female. And they just, right now, I think there's some confused people as to what they really want to do.
Right. And again, like I said, even many of those on the left say, you know, this is, you know, she should not be anywhere near the White House. But anyhow, that's another story. We're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a quick look at, we're going to hear from Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg on the Trump versus Biden. And, of course, there's going to be some commentary from some of those at Fox News, too, coming up. So when we come back from the breaks, I'll have to introduce that because we'll be – that starts the second hour during the weekdays. So folks that will tune in, they'll know what's going on, right?
Hopefully they'll know what's going on, yep.
And after that, we'll talk about a mail-in ballot fraud study finds – Trump almost certainly won the 2020 election. We knew that all along, didn't we, Joe?
Well, we sure did. It seems like every week there's one or two stories to come out about the election, how it was corrupt, how there was a lot of cheating, illegal voting going on.
Yeah, all you got to do is get our newsletter. We've sent out tons and tons of info. All right, we're coming up to a break right now. So when we come back, we got more to come. Be right back with one.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.